joining Bill Lasky and I. He is the voice of the Oakland Athletics, and we call him the captain because he stepped up big time when we lost Bill King, and he took over really for what Bill was doing at that point, just like Pee Wee Reese did for Jackie Robinson. So we call him the captain, and that is Ken Korak. Ken, how are you?
We're doing fine, Marty and Bill. It's great to be with you guys tonight.
Yeah, nice the lights haven't
Ken.
Taken
Everything
effect,
good with
have
you?
They? Have the lights
yeah,
taken effect
fine.
Where you are?
Yeah, we're doing fine. Yeah, well, not quite yet now that it's daylight savings time, but another hour or two for sure.
So tell me, how are you doing without baseball? What's new in your world and the world of the A's? What's going on right now?
Well, I don't think it's that much different from you guys in that, and I really think that life is, it's like a trip back in time to a much simpler time in all of our lives. And that, let me say this, you know, before we get to that, and what we're going through pales in comparison to so many people, Marty and Bill, who have lost their jobs and stories of single parents and having a tough time paying their rent. So, you know, our hearts go out to those folks and so much hardship around the country. But along with that, the acts of kindness, I think it's just so important right now. People don't need me saying that, but it's also great to see people being gracious and kind and polite. I know Governor Cuomo talked about that today during his press conference, but we're fine. Like I said, life has been reduced to a much simpler form. This is pretty much the fifth day that we've stayed in. I go out usually in the afternoon, spend about an hour, and do a little walking to get some exercise, and then going to the store and things like that. So I don't think it's a whole lot different from you guys. And then you have to be creative, I think, to find ways to find entertainment. And I think that's been kind of cool to surf around a little bit and maybe find some things that you wouldn't ordinarily do because diversions and entertainment and things like that are so important right now.
Boy, well said. We just had a lot of fun. Look, going back, as MLB has done this week, they've done a great job bringing back some of the classic games. And we talked a little bit about the 2010 World Series and an amazing bunt by Arbie Huff. And it made me think, and I mentioned the Bill before the break, and Ken, I was there. You saw the A's and Red Sox. What was it, 2003 maybe? I forget
2003.
When.
2003, yeah.
Ramon Hernandez, one of the great bunts of all time to beat the Boston Red Sox. How about that moment?
Now, you didn't go back to 1986 when Bill Lasky was playing for the Phoenix Firebirds. Phoenix Municipal Stadium, and I was calling the games there, and Jimmy LeFevre was managing the team. But 2003, the element of surprise reigns supreme. Bill King's call. Bill had this great knack for finding the right phrase at the right time instantaneously, and he did. And that all these great calls that Bill have made, and we've titled most of them, and that was the walk-off bunt by Hernandez in the playoffs against the Red Sox. Like you said, Marty, you were there, and the A's had all the disappointment. They have so many disappointing playoff series, but so many of those series also were classics. That was just a wonderful five game going down to the last game, and Pedro Martinez against Barry Zito, as you remember, in the fifth game.
And Manny Ramirez, I remember the home run he hit, and that was a decider.
Yeah, it went down the left field line. Yeah, Zito tried to come in on him, and Manny hit it out.
But, Bill, you could jump in on this one. People have bunted against you, and maybe you can talk about bunting just a little bit. But the Ramon Hernandez one was a game winner. I mean, runner on third, and he laid it down. The Red Sox had no idea, and that was the end of the game. So,
right.
Bill,
you
take
know,
us
one
through
of the, one of the things, Marty. One of the things, Marty and Ken, you know, back in our era, you had guys laying down bunts a lot. You had guys pushing bunts. You had guys pulling bunts. You know, you always had it in your scouting reports. Guy likes to bunt, you know, so you had to keep an eye on every hitter top to bottom because you had guys dropping bumps down and infielders coming in. And those are the things that the game has changed, no doubt about it. And, Ken, you even in the American League, even with the DH, you still had some fantastic bunters that laid them down, and they were by the bag when the third baseman was picking up the ball. So maybe you can tell us a couple great bunters the Oakland A's had back in the day.
Well, the other thing, too, I was flashing on, because I know Marty's been watching some of the games on MLB Network, was the classic last game of the division series between the Yankees and the Mariners. And the Mariners had the comeback to win the game in the 11th inning, and the first base runner was literally Joey Cora a bunt hit and eluding a tag of Mattingly going to first base. And so some of those, you know, the A's have not, it's they don't really feature the bunt necessarily. Now, that would pertain more to the sacrifice bunt. But when the A's had Johnny Damon, he was an excellent bunter. And Damon was a big part of the A's club in 2001, the team that I really thought was, of all the playoff teams, the best team the A's had, the team that I thought had the best chance maybe to get to the World Series that year.
Well, I think it's just a great part of baseball, and it's a lot of fun to talk about it. Some of the other games. Well, first of all, Bill, and I'll ask you and Ken this. Ken, you can answer first. But people have been sort of questioning, throwing questions out on the internet, you know, your first favorite player and why. And it's fascinating to see some of the responses that people come up with. So I thought that would be a good question for you guys. I'll ask you that. Ken Korak, your first favorite player and why?
My first favorite player, even though I grew up a lot closer to Dodger Stadium than Anaheim, although the Angels played their first two, for, well, they played in 61 at Wrigley Field in downtown L.A., and then 62 through 65 at Dodger Stadium. So my first favorite player was Jim Fregosi. Like I said, even though we lived a lot closer to Dodger Stadium, I just had a great affection for the Angels. A big reason for that was Bill Rigney, the late, great Rigney, who was a great friend of ours, is obviously Marty. But Fregosi played shortstop. I kind of fancied myself as a shortstop, and I love those Angels teams, and he was just a kid in 1962 in the Angels' second year of existence when they literally were in first place on July 4th. Now, Jimmy, one of the all-time great players to come out of the Bay Area. I didn't really know that back then when I was 10 years old, but he was my first, the first guy I really idolized.
Oh, very good. Bill, how about you?
Well, and I grew up in Toledo, of course. The A's slogan, Holy Toledo, always cracks me up because that's where I grew up. And, of course, it was either Cleveland Indians, Cincinnati Reds, but I followed the Detroit Tigers. And Tigers were – my dad used to take me to Tiger Stadium, old Tiger Stadium, all the time. And my guy was Al Kaline, number six. Went right to the big leagues, you know. Got drafted, went right to the big leagues, I think at 19 years old and a Hall of Famer. And I used to just love watching him play and – the way he just maintained right field, cannon for an arm. Of course, back then, 1968 World Series was my big World Series I followed when the Cardinals were blowing them out by three in three games, and then they came back and won four straight. Mickey Lolich was outstanding. Denny McClain. I can go on and on with that team. But, no, I really followed the Tigers religiously. I used to keep box scores, watching them on my black and white TV in the living room, and I just enjoyed it. And that's kind of – just sucked me into the game of baseball, the Tigers all those years. And Al Kaline was that kind of guy, and I got to meet him later in my career, and my mouth was open like a little kid when I met him. And, of course, I was 5 years in the big leagues and going to a clubhouse meeting Al Kaline, that was the thrill of my day.
Boy, great.
He was as good a guy as he was a player, right, Marty and,
yeah.
and Bill?
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. One of the classiest people you'll ever meet in baseball, Al Kaline.
Yeah. I had him on the show when I was first starting, you know, memories of the game and all that. He was very generous with his time. Willie Horton was another one. Willie Horton couldn't be nicer with his time. As we're talking, I got a text from Sam Spear, who points out that Campy Campanaris was one of the great bunters in Oakland A's history.
Mm-hmm.
And Campy, truthfully, and I firmly believe this, that he's Hall of Fame material. And it's just that A's team had so many to go into the Hall of Fame, and he got overlooked because of it. But Campy was a great bunter, and Sam also said when he was a kid, his favorite player growing up was Babe Ruth.
So, well, yeah. My dad saw the Babe play on a barn. My dad grew up in L.A., but when Babe would get together with a bunch of ballplayers back then, they'd barnstorm in the off season. My dad literally saw the Babe play in L.A. Bill was talking about 1968, Marty, and some of our idols, at least for me, were the broadcasters. And if you think about the 68 World Series, you had Jack Buck and Ernie Harwell on the radio, and it didn't get any better than that. And that was really something special to listen to.
Yeah, beautiful. The other game that was played this week was the George Brett game. And I know Bruce Jenkins is going to talk about this one later on when he's on tonight. But the George Brett Pine Tar game, how about that game, the George Brett Pine Tar game, that they wait until he hits the home run to protest that there's too much pine tar in his bat, and the umpires believe it. And then, of course, there's a protest, and the game is reversed, and they finish it up, and Kansas City does win it. But how about that moment of George Brett come flying out of the dugout and Billy Martin just standing there with the bat? How about that?
Tim McClellan was the umpire, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah, he sure was. I was just going to say that,
yeah.
too.
Right.
He was so big of an umpire, too. He was about 6'6", 6'7". You know, we used to always say, bend your knees, call a low strike, because he'd never, you know, bend his knees. And we were always hollering at him, bend your knees, you're so damn tall. But
he would have to unfold.
I thought George was going to punch him. I really did.
Yeah. He would have to unfold. McClellan was so big. Like, for us in our little world, nobody cares about our little world. But we wanted, as play-by-play guys, we want the calls, the balls and strikes. Give us a call quickly. And he was one of those guys who was like a 7-second delay. He was always considered one of the best balls and strikes. Maybe you disagree, Bill, but was considered one of the best balls and strikes umpires around. But give me a quick call. Come on.
Who was the worst?
You wouldn't even know it either. I'm telling you, when you're on pitcher's mound, you didn't know he called it a ball or strike sometimes. You're like, what was it?
Right.
You know, because he'd always have that
exactly.
call. He did.
That's right.
Who was the worst, Joe Brinkman?
Joe Brinkman or John Schulock?
Well, I didn't like Bruce Fromming. I just didn't like him at all. He never was wrong.
No, that's true.
Because that was his best buddy. I go, why did always Bruce always had to be right? He goes, he was an umpire. That's the answer to it.
Well, Bill Clem always said he never missed one. In his heart, he was right in every call he made.
The point with Brinkman, Brinkman would toward the end of his career, he would literally set up in the grass. That's how far behind home plate he was.
Wow. It drove Bill crazy, right? Bill King drove him nuts.
Oh. Yeah. Well, any umpire drove him nuts, and you could say the same thing about NBA officials as well, for sure.
Sure. Dutch Renner was always a good ball strike guy. Dutch. We'd always give that a loud strike one, strike two. He'd always come unglued with the strikes. But I always liked Dutch. And Lee Wire was another really good umpire behind the plate. I always liked when Lee was behind the plate. He'd always give you that corner, that pitcher's corner. You always liked that little inch off the side.
Lee was a big guy, too. He was like 6'6", right?
Yeah, he was. He was really big.
280. Yeah. Hey, Bill Lasky, what about Eddie Montague as an umpire? What was Eddie like?
Eddie was good. He was really good ball strike corner. And, you know, when you had him at Candlestick, it seemed like the zone opened up a little bit more than on the road. He was, San Mateo, man, he still lives there, our good friend Marty and Ken. And Eddie was always good with pitchers. He was stern. He wouldn't let the hitter scream at him as well as the pitcher. He'd take that mask off and warn you, and quick as a second.
Boy, you know, I was thinking about Bill King for a second. Ken, do you remember when I interviewed an umpire once on the show?
And well, that was the last time you did that, right?
Yeah, it was. It was. Bill didn't talk to me for like 2 days.
And what happened, Marty?
I think it was Jim McKeon I had on, and I think he had Roy Halladay had taken a no-hitter maybe into the ninth inning, or maybe it was a no-hitter, and he did the game. And I said, well, it'd be interesting to hear from Jim McKeon what he thought about it. And I played the interview, and Bill King just rose, came off his chair while he was listening to it. And that was the last time I ever put an umpire on. With Bill.
People think we're kidding about this. I was prohibited. People think we're joking. This is the truth. All the years I did the pregame show for the A's, I was prohibited from interviewing umpires by Bill King.
Wow.
That's true.
That's something different. I never heard any of that. That's good stuff there.
You know, Montague is a great resource for us now as an umpire supervisor, having him around the ballpark as he is over in San Francisco, and he's with us in Oakland a lot, and he was there during Sean Manaea's no-hitter when there was a really controversial call at first base. We were talking about bunts on Andrew Benintendi, and eventually the ruling was he was out of the baseline, and that was a big factor in Manaea's no-hitter continuing, and we had Eddie up there in the press box that night, and he really helped clarify things for us. So he's really been a great resource for us.
Well, yeah. Great, great baseball stuff. Ken, thanks so much for coming on. It's a pleasure. Bill, is Joey Malfitano coming up next before we say goodbye to Bill?
He is.
Not
he
before
is
we say goodbye
next.
To Ken.
Ken, good talking to you, Ken. Stay safe.
Hey, Bill, friend. It's always great. Thanks,
yeah,
buddy.
We've got. We're going to talk about the Ken. We're going to. I'll get your just opinion of this before we let you go. 23-22 Wrigley Field. How would you like to do that game?
Yeah, we've done a few of those in Texas. So now the ballpark in Arlington is no longer. They're going into a dome stadium. So hopefully the games there will be a little more orderly than they were back in the days where you did have some scores like that. But yeah, that was a wild one for sure.
Well, the wind apparently was blowing out that day.
I would guess so. Yep.
All right. But thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Great to be with you guys.
All right. Thanks. All right. That is a great Ken Korak. Always a pleasure. All right. Bill, as I said, Joey Malfitano coming up next.
Yes, sir, he is. He's all ready for that 23-22 thriller at Wrigley.
He was the third base coach, a longtime San Francisco Giant, and one of the great baseball guys around. 1954, a New York Giant, and he was a bonus baby, and he sat in on the bench for a couple of years before getting back up to the big leagues. But a real, real baseball asset. So more coming up right here at KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader.